everybody's going to the league. Look at a couple of scriptures of mine. One's in Matthew and the one's in Jonah. We say everybody being on tonight, but we could be glass and glasses. I don't think we'll be home tonight. I think everybody was out tonight. I wish more people were out. You know, I'm glad I serve a God who never makes excuses. Because when I need him, I don't need him to tell me that he can't show up because he has something else he needs to do. We serve a faithful God. And we serve a mighty God. God is someone who we can depend on, and I'm kind of glad about that. And the thing about God is that he's the one person who can deliver you out of whatever you're going through or however you're going. But there's one thing about the Lord, and I listened to all the testimonies tonight. I was listening to Minister Smith teach on Tuesday night, and was really enjoying that. And let me see who we got up here tonight. We have Minister Rogers up, Elchangela Rogers. See the Negley's up tonight. Where are the other elders? Where's Elder Lopez? And where's Elder?
She's in Puerto Rico.
Colorado.
At a wedding.
Where's Elder Calix tonight?
She's in with her mom in Fort Myers.
Where's Dr. Calix? The other one.
Probably right here.
That's okay. Where are the Danvilles tonight? And when I say this, I'm asking this question because it's not a rebuke. This question is you need God.
Yes, I do.
And you're responsible to God for where you are. And everybody can't be everywhere all the time. I understand that. But we expect God to be exactly where we want him when we need him. And God is faithful. We need to learn to be the same. I want to look at a scripture tonight in Matthew and I'm going to look at a book tonight that's a very short book. Matter of fact, my Bible is so short, it's only a page and a half long. It's Jonah. And let's see here. Praise the Lord. Jesus in Matthew, the 12th chapter, I think that's where I am, 39 through 41. I thank God for all the testimonies of the saints tonight. I'm glad to be back. I enjoyed myself in South America, and it was a good trip, and we had a great conference. And I'm glad the Lord got me back in the middle of a hurricane. And it's not the first time I had to come back from down there in a hurricane. I was down there in Hurricane Katrina. I had to come back. Hurricane, whatever it was, Flora, Florence, whatever it was, I had to fly back at that one, got to Atlanta, couldn't get any closer. Ended up just renting a car and driving back from Atlanta. You know what? I know how to make my way home. I'm like a homing pigeon. I can get home now. I told Elder Smith the other night when I finally got back to Miami, if there were no planes flying to Fort Walton Beach, hey, look, I'll just do that. I just have to rent a car and do that 10-hour drive. When I'm ready to go home, I'm going home. It's just like that for me in heaven. When we talk about going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. I'm not worried about it. I've been around for a long time, and I like for all the young people to come and people who are young in the Lord and growing in the Lord. Stay as enthusiastic about God now as you always will be. And don't get to a point where you settle in and decide that you've got an inroad with God and you no longer have, you can do what you want, come and go as you please or whatever. Always be pleasing to God. And God will bless you. You won't lose anything doing that. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, in about verse number 39, it's good to have New Covenant on tonight. It's good to see Brother Sturges out tonight. Praise God. For everybody, I was listening to the testimonies of the saints tonight, and I know Minister Smith over here, and I was listening to Sister Philly tonight, and for everybody who is testifying. You know, when the Lord is really blessing you, like the Lord's really blessing you and things are really working out. When things are really working for you and the Lord's really blessing you, you need to settle yourself that at least in God you're in a good place.
Right.
You're in a right line in God. And be careful when the devil keeps coming to tell you to move. Because God is blessing you. When the Lord is blessing you and the Lord is really working things out for you,
You know you're going in the right direction. Keep going in that direction. Because God is pleased with the direction you're going. Don't let anything get you out of that line. You know, when the prayers you pray and the way you look at God and the joy you have, be careful when anything tries to distract you from doing that. Because you're seeking after God. I was listening to Minister Smith teaching you on Tuesday night, and she was talking about seeking the Lord and getting an understanding from the Lord. And one way we know that we're pleasing to God, because when we're pleasing to God, things start working out. When we obey God and when we're pleasing to God, things work out because God works them out. That's never pleasing to the devil. So he always shows up to make things more, you know, he always comes along to try and get you off the track that you're going. The way that we're going right now, the way the Lord is moving right now, let God have his way. The prayer that we pray all the time, the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You want what you're doing to be in line with the kingdom of God. And you want what you're doing to be in the will of God. And if you find that there's a lot of disturbance and chaos going on, find the will of God and you will be in peace. Find yourself in the will of God. And things will settle down. That's why things are growing and working out for you. And things are working out for you. And things are working out for you. Find yourself in the will of God. And things will work out. And they'll settle down. And peace will come.
Yes.
It is the fruit of righteousness. You'll get that. And in Jesus' time, so I won't be long tonight. And I'll make this pretty short. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, in the 39th verse. Jesus is always, and this comes in the middle of a thought because I'm going to go to Jonah, so I'll set the stage for you. Jesus is healing people. He's delivering people. He's always doing something to bless the people because he's a blesser. He's always working things out. And he's always doing great things. And by this sign, they should know him because he's healing and he's delivering. And if you need deliverance tonight, if you need healing tonight, God will do it. Give God some time. You know, I wish I could get people to give God just a small amount of the time they give everything else. You know, if I could just get them to just sit and allow the Lord to just work. Because it doesn't take God long. If we could just get people to just give God a little bit of their time, God would work things out and God would work things through. If you would just give him the attention and the dedication that we give other things, God would work great things in your life. And when Jesus comes along during this time, my God, you know, Minister Smith was talking the other night about biblical history. It's been 500 years since the last time a miracle worker came along. By the time Jesus comes along, you haven't seen any miracles since Malachi, and that's been 500 years before Matthew. And when Jesus comes along and starts healing the people and delivering the people, because he's showing them the kingdom of heaven, and in his healing and his delivering, he's showing them how great God is and how much God cares for them and how God is the answer to everything. Why is it, you know, she read the scripture the other night too, where he says that, where Isaiah says that, eyes that won't see, ears that won't hear, hearts that won't receive, and all this. Why is it that the God of this world seeks to keep you from having anything to do with God? Because he knows that when you find out how great God is, like those of us who have, that he knows that one of those things, he'll lose his clients. And the devil is a lost cause.
Yes, he is.
Of his own will.
Yes,
and he desires that you would be the same. But God is great. Yes. So when Jesus comes along, everything that he does, just like the devil fights people now, and I don't want to give him too much press because, you know, even bad press is still bad publicity. It's still publicity.
Right.
The society of the world is going on at that time really has nothing to do with God.
Yeah.
Very little to do with God. They're church people,
yeah. But
they don't have a lot to do with God.
Yeah.
They're in the temple, but they don't have a lot to do with God. They're into themselves. And so in 39, Jesus says, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh out the sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but a sign of the prophet Jonas." And as much as Jesus is delivering and healing and doing the things that Jesus is doing, you know how we come back after God has blessed us and kept us And we said, well, Lord, if you're really with me, do something else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they were, you know, every time we run, you know, it's never a matter of us saying, you know, we grow to a point after a while where we start to say, well, Lord, if it rains today, you're still a good God. And Lord, if traffic is heavy today, you're still a good God. And Lord, if the sun shines today, you're a good God. And Lord, no matter what, if my heart is beating, you're a good God. And I'm going on because you're a good God. Because rain comes. And it's necessary. And sunshine comes. And hurricanes come. And say, well, are you warning hurricanes? No, I don't want them. Matter of fact, the earth is not supposed to have them. That's the earth travailing. And I was praying and asking the Lord so that when hurricanes come, it wasn't an issue just saying, well, I don't want hurricanes to blow away my house. I was asking the Lord, don't let the hurricanes do a lot of damage to anybody. And God heard our prayer. Because as bad as this hurricane was supposed to do, it did not do a lot of damage. Glory to God. So they kept saying to Jesus every other day, Jesus is healing and delivering and feeding them. And yet they kept saying, but prove to us that you're the Son of God. He said, my Lord, what else is it for me to do? I'm healing, I'm delivering. Even John the Baptist said to him one time and said, are you sure he's the one? And he said, go tell him that I'm healing, I'm delivering, yesterday, today, and forever, and I'm the one. And so when they finally keep coming to him and saying to him, are you really the Son of God? Just like sometimes we do. Are you really God's Son? Will you really forgive me of my sins? Can you really help me? Will you really bring me out? We ask all those questions, don't we? And the answer is yes. And Jesus says to them, he says, there'll be no more signs given. They weren't saying, show us a sign that you have power, because they knew he had power. They said, show us a sign that you're the Son of God. And he says, for as Jonas was in the 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. In other words, he says, I'm going to die and be buried, and after 3 days I'm going to be resurrected. If you don't believe I'm God's Son by now, you will believe it then. Because I've shown you everything else. It's like that in us. You know, we preach and teach and talk about the Lord. And sometimes people look at us as if we're all in this, if we're in this fantasy world and we're psyching ourselves out. But for those of us who are in Christ, we stand to tell you that the reason why we are what we are is because God came in and changed us.
Yes, amen.
He made a difference in our lives. We were, and as Paul says, and such were some of us, you know, and the way that we came and the way that we're about, you know, what you see is what God has caused us to be. And we need to never forget that. So he makes this reference to Jonah. And Jonah is a type of Christ. And I'm going to go to Jonah tonight and spend some time in that. And it's a quarter after eight now. And don't plan to be here for a long time. But just go to Jonah for a minute. And like I said, if you've never read Jonah, if you've heard people talk about Jonah being in the whale's belly and all that and everything else, and all that is true. And if you've ever wanted to read a short book, Jonah next to Philemon is probably one of the shortest books in the Bible. So you can read it all in the space of a half an hour. But then you get it. But as short as the book of Jonah is, I'm going to have to come out of this jacket. I know my hair is still on. As short as the book of Jonah is, I can probably preach 20 sermons out of Jonah.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's that much in the book of Jonah. You need to know first, you need to know Matthew. Jonah is a man of God. Jonah is not just someone who happens to come along. Jonah is a prophet. He gives the word of God. What makes a prophet? A prophet is someone who gives the people God's word. They speak the word of God. And Jonah is a good prophet. And God uses him like God uses you and like God uses Elder Garcia and like God uses us. Jonah is somebody that God uses. But one thing about it is even though God uses us, we're not always perfect. And Jonah is somebody that God trusts explicitly. And you have to be very careful about when God is giving you something to do. And you're deciding, and God needs to break, he needs to change something about you so he can do great things. Yes. It's not that he's not doing anything in your life, but he desires to do
great things.
Yes. And the other thing is I want everybody in here to understand, everybody on Zoom, the only person that holds you up in God is you. Yes. The only person that hinders your forward motion in God is you. The only person that keeps you from being saved is you, because Christ has done everything for you to be saved. The only people, and once you are saved, the only person that keeps you from growing in God, here again, is you. Because God would have you have all power. God would deliver. God would bless. And somebody said, well, you know, I'll grow as high as God wants me to go. Listen to me. God never, He never tampers with free will. Only by that is he able to be glorified. So when you get up to come to church or not come, it's up to you. It's learning to grow in God so that the desire is there and the willingness is there. If you're ever not doing everything you can do in God, and you're saying, well, when the Lord gets ready for me to do more than that, he'll do this and that and the other, my brother and my sister, you can forget about that, because when God says to you, this is the way to be blessed, and this is what you should do, the ball is in your court. Yes. You can come or not come. Yes. You can grow or not grow. Yes. You can go forward or you can go backwards. Yes. God gives you the way to go so that you'll be blessed, but the willingness to do, the will is a part of my soul. What I will do and what I will not do. And I've heard people say all kinds of things like, God gets ready for me to stop smoking. I'll just use that for an example. When God gets ready for me to stop smoking, God has just stopped me from smoking. When God gets ready for you to stop smoking and you don't, it's called death. If you can't do it before then God is ready for you to stop. And you won't. And it's that way in so many other things. When God gets ready for you to do this and that and the other, God expects you to have a relationship with him. I was talking about this last time, where you develop a relationship event with God. There's a certain amount of respect. When it talks about the fear of the Lord, we're talking about that reverential respect that you're supposed to have with God and the place he's supposed to fit in your life, that you obey God because you love God and because you see how great God is to you. So Jonah, to make this short tonight, Jonah is somebody that God uses, Elder Garcia. Jonah's not a light preacher. Jonah's a great preacher. Jonah's a great preacher. How great is Jonah? I'm glad you asked. Jonah is such a great preacher to God's going to send him to one of the most sinful nations on earth. So I don't want God to do that to me. Don't worry, he's not. Unless you can preach like Jonah, God is not going to send you someplace like that. Because you have to be someone who has power. And Jonah is a powerful preacher. But God knows that even in Jonah, Jonah could do more, but Jonah has a problem. What is Jonah's problem? Jonah has a hard time forgiving people. And the Ninevites are very evil people, and not only so, but they've been very evil to the Jewish nation, to the Israelites. And Jonah doesn't want them saved. Jonah wants them destroyed. You know how it is?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Like, I know a few people in politics that I would like to see destroyed until the Lord comes and says, but which would be better? He says to me, Bishop, which would be better? If they died or if they were saved? And how would I get more glory and more victory if I saved them? And you say, well, how that work, Lord, as evil as they are. So he says, can you imagine what it would be like if you saved them? And the influence they would have and the good they would do. And then it's up to me to have the mind of God and say, Lord, you know what? Save them. That's why Jesus says, pray for those who despitefully use you. Don't let the devil win. Save them. They act silly on you. Ask God to save them. You know, Lord, I hope you smite them. You know, strike them dead. No, save them. Save them. That's what needs to happen. And Jonah, Minister Smith, Jonah decides he's not going to, What's in us, God has a way of bringing out of us.
You got that right.
And many times we don't realize what's in there until God brings a trial that brings it out. And Jonah doesn't think that he has the ability to disobey God until God gives him something to do that he doesn't really want to do. And he just decides, I'm not going to do it.
That's what he does.
You know how it is?
That's what we do.
And the Lord is saying to him, Jonah, you're a great preacher. Go preach to Nineveh. I'm going to show up with you, and I'm going to be, it's an opportunity for God to really, really bless these people and really use Jonah, because he's been praying, Lord, use me in your service. Lord, use me in your service. Lord, use me in your service. Lord, I want to be close to you. Lord, I want to be close to you. And God says, all right, that's what I'm going to do. And so Jonah decides, I'm not going to Nineveh. You know, I'm not leaving God. I just don't want to do that. You know, I'm not leaving God. I just don't want to do that. You know, and this isn't something that God asked Jonah to do when Jonah just got saved last week. By now, if God asked him to do this, God knows Jonah's able to do it, and God's going to be with Jonah. When God is asking you to do something, God never sets you up to fail. As a matter of fact, God, even at the very beginning, when God asked you to come to him and be saved, he knew if he had to depend on you to save yourself, it never happened. The only thing he asked you to do is just yield and allow him to do it.
Yes.
So Jonah decides, I'm not going to do it. And then when you look at it, let's read a little bit. It says in 4, but the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners, afraid, and cried every man to his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was going down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Jonah is satisfied that, you know, I'm going to be all right. You know how it is? Ella Bob, you know, when people, you know, when God is asking people, say, do something, and they just say, I'll be all right. I'm going to make it to heaven. I'll be all right. Not going, you know. And all around them, during this time when Jonah makes up his mind about this, what's happening, Minister Smith? Things are getting bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not even aware that they're getting bad, because he's down there. I'll be all right. I got this. I'm gonna be all right. Why are things getting bad in Jonah's life? Why aren't things working out? Because Jonah's no longer in the will of God. Why are things not working out? Jonah's no longer in the will of God. Then the people all around him, you know, because people can become enablers. They know that what you're doing needs to stop and you need to do something differently. Or when you start realizing you need to do something differently, they come along and help you keep doing what you're doing. That doesn't help anybody, does it?
No.
You know I'm dying, and you come along and keep doing just what you're doing.
Yes.
And you encourage me to keep on doing. Oh, man, come on. You're not my friend. Let me tell you something. Anybody who turns you away from God, I don't care for whatever reason they do it, is not your friend.
That's true.
Anybody who would have you be denied eternal life, and anybody who would come between you so that God would not be able to reconcile you and to turn your life around for the goodness of God and the things that God is able to do, I don't care if you have the same last name or the same DNA. Anybody who would have you not have God,
yes,
is not your friend.
Not
in that regard. So all these men in the ship, Jonah has booked passage, and they are working very hard to help this ship stay afloat. And Jonah's not even worried about it. In verse 8, and they said to him, tell us, we pray for thee, for whose cause is this evil upon us? What is thine occupation? Whence cometh thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and he said unto them, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, Because he told them, and he said to them, I'm the reason why we're having all this problem. Sooner or later, you need to come to it that the biggest reason that you have problems in your life is you.
That's right. Amen to that.
It doesn't matter. You know, it's my thing. Well, it's not my fault, this and that and the other. And, well, it's your fault when you found out about it that you can do something about it. He says to them, he says, well, the reason why the ship's having a hard time is because of me. I'm trying to get away from God. And you know what it's like, Minister Smith? Why is he trying to get away from God when God is using him and God is blessing him? So, well, why is it, Bishop Smith? Because there's something in here that God knows that Jonah still has. There's a little resistance in here that Jonah still has. There's a way about Jonah that Jonah still has. I think I heard Minister Smith teaching Tuesday night about the heart is deceitful, incredible, and wicked, and no man can know it. There's a way about us that stands in our way of growing in God, and God has a way of bringing that out and showing that to us. And then, and I'm almost finished with my sermon now because I only got one more line. And then they said there, what shall we do in 11 that the sea may be calmed us? How do we fix this? For the sea roared and was tempestuous. In other words, the sea was rough. Then they said, now what shall we do that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will be calm for you. There is a song that someone sung a few years ago. Been quite a while now. And Chandra likes it. It's I give myself away so God can use me. I give myself away because I understand that what stands between me and God is not the devil, because Christ defeated him on the cross of Calvary and took all his power for all those that will come to Christ. You can't say anymore the devil made me do it. If the devil's still making you do things, you need to run to the one who can stop the devil.
That's right.
Then it comes up to you what you will and will not do in God. And then you can allow God to do all his great things in your life. And the person who stands in your way is you.
Yes,
and Jonah understands what's going on in my life. Yes, I'm a great preacher. I'm a great minister. But right now, I'm not doing what God would have me do. And it's dangerous.
Yes.
Because I know the power of God.
Yes.
When you're an elder, you know the power of God. You should know. And when you don't obey God, it's dangerous.
Yes,
because there's something in, because it's not, and you can't give God an excuse. You can't give God an excuse for not serving God, because God knows everything about you. He knows the truth of you. That's what's so great about it, because God is able to wash you and cleanse you and forgive you, knowing who and what you are. So that you'll become new, make you new, give you a new start, give you a second chance, and repair the breaches, all the things that are torn up in your life, God fixes.
Yes, amen.
And so Jonah comes along, and Jonah says, he realizes something that all of us need to come to sooner or later. You need to come to God, and you need to say to him, Lord, you need to throw me overboard. It's me. Because when you finish reading this, you go down and you start reading in the next verse. Therefore they cried unto the Lord, we beseech you not to punish us. And then they do what they said. So they took up Jonah 15 and cast him forth into the sea. But look at 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. God has already made a way that if he could get Jonah to come to the point of realizing the reason why I'm going through what I'm going through is not because of what God isn't able to do. It's me. And it's what, and it isn't that God doesn't love me, because God does love me. God has something for me to do. But I need to say yes to the Lord, because it's going to be marvelous if I'll just let the Lord have his way. And the hindrance is me. And I need for me to be thrown overboard. I need to get rid of me. And then when you read about this, because God is not trying to destroy him forever. And then you read, he says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. And when the Lord throws you overboard, You know, when you come to it, I need for the Lord to throw me overboard. If you read about the men, they didn't want to throw Jonah over. You know, nevertheless, in 13, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea was rocked and impetuous against them. They were trying so hard to work things out for Jonah. You know how we try so hard to work things out for people sometimes, but they just won't turn to God. And they won't let the Lord work things out. And you always have people, well, maybe you can do this and maybe you can do that. God will get to a point after a while where he will let people do that for a while. But sooner or later, you're going to find yourself in a boat that God is not going to let anybody save you. It's a go, no go. You either choose God or you're going to be lost. Jonah gets to a point where he says, you know what the problem in my life is? You know why this sea is upset? Are you reading along with me? You know why this sea is upset? Because of me. It's not that I'm not a great preacher, because I am. Matter of fact, the reason why God's even sending me to Nineveh is because he knows that I have the anointing to do it. But I've got this thing with all my anointing. I still don't like the Ninevites. And I still don't plan on forgiving them. And it doesn't have to be in forgiveness. It can be many other things. He's saying, I just don't want to go along with God on this. I'm not leaving God. I'm just not going along with God on this. God's going to have to find something else to do. It's arrogance on Jonah's part to decide he's not going to go along with God on this. It's Jonah's pride. Hey, I'm not going to go preach to the Ninevites. What will the other people say? All the Jewish people, they've hurt, they've done all this to, and now I'm going to go preach to them? My goodness gracious, what will my friends say? I'm just not going to go along with God on this. I'm just going to skip on over to Tarsus. So what you going to tell God? Well, I'll figure that out when I get there.
Right.
How are you going to explain this to God? I'll figure that out when I get there. And God says, not today, Jonah. You have stood up and told the people, thus saith the Lord. I've worked my will through you. I've used you, and now you're going to not go along with me when I'm building you up and bringing you up and seeing you through and blessing you and desiring to help you. And you decide, I think I'll go another way. And then Jonah realizes, you know what? There's a problem here. And the problem is not the devil. The problem is not the wind. The problem is not the sea. The problem is me.
Yes.
What's hindering me and God from being great? Me. God is using you. God is saving you. God is delivering you. What needs to be delivered in me? Me. And Jonah tells the people, because they don't even go along with it. Jonah, you all right. You're going to be all right. Oh, Elder so-and-so, you all right. Reverend so-and-so, you okay. Oh, sister, you'll be all right. Oh, brother, you'll be all right. No, what we need to say is oh, brother, you know, find your way in God. Men ought to obey God. And Jonah comes to it. He says, you know what? I'm wrong. I need to be thrown overboard. Why, Elder Russell? Why, Elder Garcia? Why, Elder Russell? Why throw him overboard? Because Jonah's concerned about somebody other than himself. If Jonah doesn't get off this ship, not only will he die, he's going to kill everybody else. There comes to be a time when you need to be concerned about somebody other than you. And if Jonah doesn't leave this ship, everybody's going down. And Jonah says to the rest of the people on the ship, you know what needs to happen? I need to get myself right with God. Throw me overboard. And they're not willing to do it. They're rowing hard, trying to make it to shore. So Jonah doesn't have to go overboard, but God is intent.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he has something great for Jonah to do.
Yeah. Well,
then when Jonah is thrown overboard, he says in the second chapter, he says, and then Jonah cried out to the Lord and the Philistines better. That's what God wanted all along. He wanted Jonah to say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, work it out. That's what he wanted all along. Don't wait. How long did he have to go? And I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly. And I cried, and thou heardest my voice. For thou cast me into the deep in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. What are you going to do? Wait until, Jonah, you know, you're going to wait until you go down till you sink to the bottom? Before you say, Lord, I give myself away. Lord, throw me overboard. Lord, I yield. What are you waiting for? Go down to the very bottom, to the depths. He says the weeds wrapped around his head. Doesn't he say that? He says the waters compassed me about my soul, the depths, and the weeds were wrapped around my head. I can just see Jonah. I mean, there's no way out. What are you going to do? Wait until then? And this is a great evangelist who still has his obstinance. Still going to go his way. God's calling on him. And he decides, I'm still going to do what I want to do. It's still in here. And God says, not so. As much as I've blessed you, it's time for you to start recognizing who I am. As much as I've kept you, it's time for you to start saying, I'll go along with you. He says, my record is spotless. Everything I touch is great. Everything I do is good. I've brought you out. I've blessed you. I've anointed you. I've lifted you up. I've given you success. I've kept you. You could have died if it had not been for me. Yes, sir. And yet when I say to you something that you're able to do, Jonah, it's time for you to get rid of your pride and your stubbornness, and you turn around and just deliberately say, I'm not going to do it.
Wow. That's what we do.
I didn't do that.
Jonah
gets to a point where Jonah repents. Now, the rest of the story. Jonah goes to Nineveh, preaches, 120,000 people go to praying and fasting because Jonah's preaching. Does Jonah change his mind? No. In the last few verses of it, God still has to do that. He sends Jonah. Jonah sits on a vine. God kills the vine. And Jonah gets mad because God killed the vine. And God says to Jonah in the last couple of chapters, last couple of verses on here, he says to them in 4, in the last verse, and thou, then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd for that which thou hast not labored, neither hast made to grow, which came up at night and perished in the day. Should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein more than 64,000 persons or 120,000 persons cannot discern between their right hand and left hand as much as cattle? He said to Jonah, why are you so concerned about just like we are? I don't mind people having pets, but don't love your dog more than people. You can love your dog all you want to and feed him and treat him right. Don't mistreat him and don't abuse him, but don't start loving them more than people. And don't get yourself wrapped up in everything in earth so much that you can't see anybody.
Right.
He says to Jonah, you're upset because I let this gourd die, but you didn't mind me letting all these people die?
All right now.
And you're mad with me because you had shade and the shade died? And you're my prophet? He says, Jonah, do you see what mind you actually have? You've been preaching all these years. See the sort of person that you really are? And you belong to me? I want to encourage everybody here tonight. Ask the Lord, say, Lord, throw me overboard. So that I can repent. So that I can get right with you. Jesus said in Luke, and I won't go there tonight because I'm done, everybody's standing. He said to the Lord, he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I give myself up to you. Tonight I'm encouraging everybody in here. Give yourself over to God. Listen. That's not, you know, it ain't like God is going to say to you, now, you know, you need to put on sackcloth and ashes and be a drone and this and that and the other. No, surrender.
Get you.
And allow the Lord to come in and lead you and guide you. Get the devil off your back. Satan always wants everybody to do something. He loves for people to be in chaos.
You got that right.
He likes that. He likes for people to be uncomfortable. And just, you know, when they're trying to be something in God, and God will settle you, and God will lead you and guide you. He likes to come along and stir everything up.
Yes.
That's what he likes to do. But if you allow the Lord to have you, if Jonah had gone to Nineveh like he was supposed to, his trip would already be over.
Yep. Yes.
And he would have done the will of God, and he'd be on his way, and no one else would have ever been in danger. But Jonah decided, you know what? I love the Lord, but I ain't going to do that. Jonah decided, I'm not coming to church tonight. I ain't praying today. I ain't reading my Bible today. I'm not. What part of that was too hard for him?
Nothing.
None of it. He decided that.
Yes.
We need to get to a point where we're willing to give ourselves up to the Lord. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Allow the Lord to come in. Allow him, give me a chord. Allow the Lord to work a change in you tonight. See you through. Let me pray for you tonight. Whoever needs prayer. Terrence, come down and pray for you. You need the Lord to work some things out for you. I'm glad to have you. It isn't by accident that you're here. You need to do something in God. And let the Lord have a place in your life. It is one thing to know about God. It is another thing to know God.
That's right.
And a lot of people, because they know about God, think that's the same as having God in your life. It is not the same. That's like saying, I know who Jeff Bezos is, but he's not in my life. I know who Oprah Winfrey is, but she's not in my life. Let the Lord work some things out for you. God will do great things. He'll get you off that corner and into your own house. He'll get you out of the situation you're in and get you into a stable life where you're supposed to be. God brings people up to standards. He will pick you up from where you are and get you to where you're supposed to be. God knows that already. God knows the plans that he has for you if you obey him. What stops God's plans from working from anybody? You. God has plans, but you're the one who's decided you're not going to go along with them. And God's plans are perfect. No flaws. They don't have to be debugged. You know how programs have to debug. They don't have to be. There are no glitches. There are no, well, they used to call them bugs. Now they call them issues. There are no issues in God's plans. They're perfect. And they're not just, God doesn't have a 90-day plan, a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, you know, a 25-year plan. God has a forever plan. He writes the plan for your life forever. A word that we can't even wrap our heads around. God has a plan for you, not for 90 days or 100 days, forever.
Forever. Eternal life.
When you decide that you want his plan. Because he's presenting it. He had a plan for Jonah. Jonah decided. But you see, I'll say this, and I really am finished. Everybody here should be, you should want to be like Jonah and be somebody that God loves enough that when you're going wrong, he makes such a ruckus in your life that you ask him, Lord, throw me overboard.
Yes, fix me, help me, deliver me. Yes.
Fix me, bring me out. Yes. My life is upside down, and I can't see any other way. Matthew, when Jonah's inside that well, he's totally depending on God. When Jesus goes into the grave, when he's on the cross, and he says, unto me, unto thee, to the Father, I commend my spirit, he's totally depending on the Father. Once he goes into the grave, he's totally depending on the Father to resurrect him.
Yep,
complete faith. When Jonah is inside of that whale, complete faith. If God didn't bring him out, he ain't coming out. We need to give ourselves over to God because God is faithful.
Yes, he is.
Stop playing around with God like you're God's equal.
Yes,
And you can decide in God what you will do and what you won't do. So glad to have you out tonight. I want the Lord to raise you up.
Yes.
And I don't know what your condition is, but I know you need the Lord to give you a miracle. And God is a miracle worker.
Yes, He is.
Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, according to your divine power, Lord, you have all power.
You have all power.
Lord, touch tonight, Lord,
by your great power.
And in the name of Jesus. And give perfect soundness in the name of the Lord.
Yes, Lord, give us perfect soundness, Father.
In Jesus' name.
Lord, and
Lord, heal and deliver me. And work things out.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, move according to you in your divine power.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Give
a
miracle,
Father. Yes, Lord.
Give a miracle, Father.
Yes,
give a miracle,
Jesus.
Father, for thy great
name.
In the name of Jesus.
The angle, just like you did.
In the name of Jesus. God, you'll do some mighty things in your life. You need some things worked out. It's, you, physically, it's obvious. But there's some other things you need worked out, too. And God is going to move things in your life. Praise the Lord. Have you given the Lord your heart? Are you the Lord's? All right. Bless her, Lord, according to her faith. Lord, even as she comes in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What am I praying for? Well, you're innocent, so I'll just pray for you. In Jesus' name. Stay right there. In the name of Jesus. And what am I praying for you? God's just blessing you. God's just blessing you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. As long as you're here, when you testify, you don't have to go through the phone book and give us all on. Go straight to God. We know who all of us are. Yeah, just go straight to what God did for you. That's what the blessing is. I enjoyed your testimony that God is moving great in you. God has more things that He's going to do for you. He has a lot more to do. Those situations that you have in your life that just look like they're impossible, they're not for God. All right, just stay with God. You're on the right track. Things will work out. All right? Okay. Lord, bless her in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, I see you. Good. In the name of Jesus. You know what? You're in high school now? What grade are you in? You're a freshman. You're going to have to make a confession. And just be honest. You okay? All right. Just be honest. Let me tell you how you work this out when you're in the Lord. You don't play games with it in school, you just tell them straight up, you know what, I'll just be honest with y'all. I don't do that because I'm just in God. And be done with it. And walk on off, and they can like it or lump it, and you have to dance around it so they find out, and they do this and do all that. Just tell them the truth. Hey, look, I'll just be honest with y'all. I go to church on Sunday. It's just what I do. And so, well, your mom drives you to church? No, she don't drive me. Even when she don't come, I go. Tell them the truth. And go on in God. And say, I have fun like everybody else, and I watch Diary of a Wimpy Kid like the man does, or whoever, whatever else you do like that, or whatever. I just don't, you know, I don't get high, I don't do whatever. I'm just a God. And then just go and make a confession and be done with it. And that way people can't say, well, you know, you try to do, no, I'm not perfect, but I do love the Lord, though. And,
so what I thought you...
can't do something. Well, you know, I'm not perfect, but I do love the Lord. Okay? And you'll be all right. Well, bless her, keep her, and add to her in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Take away all the confusion. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Don't worry about all of us old people. God got all of us. Don't worry about any of us old people. God has all of us, and He's working with all of us. Don't worry about any of us. We will be all right. All right? Don't let any of the old people around you, me, anybody else, don't worry about us. We have to work out what we're working with God ourselves. And you go on and be the age that you are and enjoy life and let the Lord bless you. All right? Don't worry about us. We'll be fine. All right? Okay. What am I praying for?
My alcohol dependence.
Oh, you just need to be delivered.
Yeah.
It's, you know... I guess it's time for a testimony, isn't it? You gonna listen to me? When I came to the Lord, I'm not one of those people that when I came to the Lord, the day I came, I stopped drinking, stopped smoking, stopped everything. I didn't have a problem stopping smoking. But I had a hard time stopping drinking liquor. Are you hearing me? And I mean, I was in church, and I was, and the Lord had saved me. You weren't saved yet. Yes, I was. I was. And God was taking it, and God was working with me. Now, did I have forever to keep doing it? No. But God gave me time. You don't have forever either. But you know, one time I was hiding liquor in the cellar, and I went down and had a drink, and I came back, and my wife said to me, she's standing right there, she said, if you don't stop drinking liquor, I'm going to tell the pastor. You know what? It was like a lightning bolt that hit me, and I was done. And the Lord came in, and I was just done. And it wasn't one of those deals where when the Lord delivered me, look up at me. When the Lord delivered me, I didn't have to avoid the liquor aisle in the grocery store or drive around the block to keep from going by a bar because I was delivered. To this day, and it didn't bother. I didn't. It wasn't like, oh, can't go down to the wine rack because I'll want to. No, when the Lord delivered me, I was done.
That's all it was.
Well, I'm going to ask God to give you what He gave me, but you're going to have to work with God though. Father, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, Lord. According to your divine power. Lord, what you have done for me, Lord, do for her. And Lord, set her free in the name of Jesus. And Lord, from this alcohol dependence, Lord, set her free in the name of Jesus. Lord, in Jesus' name.
Break every yoke, Lord.
Lord, in the name of Jesus. We cast this out in Jesus' name. Go free in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. God, you're able.
In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Jennifer, he set me so free. A couple of months later, I decided, you know, came to work, I'm just going to stop by and get me a little bottle of wine. Jennifer, I went home. I drank that little ounce of wine. I felt like the most miserable. I felt like I was on a, felt like I drank a barrel. And I knew that I can't do this. I was done. I can't do it. I didn't get a buzz. I got drugged out. Felt like I was drugged through the mud because God had delivered me. It was gone. But you're gonna have to work with God because even though the Lord will deliver you, if you won't stay with God, a person who is not a friend, who's the prince of darkness, will always come and remind you. And say, you know what, you'd be all right if you could just, you'd be all right. And you need to say, no, I don't need that. I'll be all right. But God's going to deliver you. Lord, set her free in Jesus.
And
go free in the name of, go free in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And no, it's not a self-help project. God is going to set you free. The Lord sets you free. Tonight you're going free.
We gave it better.
All right? You're going free. You don't have to do it yourself. It's not a 12-step process. You just have to obey God.
Let God do it, yes.
And be willing to go with God. And you'll be fine. Keep coming.
Thank you.
All right. As you're strengthening God, you'll be all right. All right.
Thank
you. Lord, bless them in Jesus' name. Bless the two of them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's okay. That's all right. Bless them in the name of Jesus. This is just fine. Bless them in Jesus' name. And Lord, show them which way to go. And Lord, show them the perfect love casteth out fear.
Yes.
Lord, let them not be afraid. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Not be afraid in the name of the Lord Jesus. Matthew, don't ever be afraid to do what is right in God. Don't ever be afraid to do what is right in God. What did I say? Don't ever be afraid to do what is right in God. Now, what did I say? The way of the Lord is right. Don't ever be afraid to do what is right in God. And you will be all right. Because when you do what's right in God, God will keep you. You'll be all right. Just keep coming and glorifying God. You'll be all right. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless him in Jesus' name. You are not alone. All right? Everybody has not abandoned you. You are not alone. It's just that now you're with the person you're supposed to be with all along. God. Amen. God. Now it's time for you to be with him. Yes. It's time for you to grow. All right? Love, blessing, and anointing, and filling in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And work things out in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You can bring your guitar and play here.
I've been hearing you.
Now it's time for you. Lord, in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, for Terrence's sake. Terrence Thomas. The 2 hours are almost up. Lord, for Terrence's sake, Lord, I pray, Lord, you move in his behalf. Move in his behalf.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. You were baptized? You ready to go back? Ready to come back? Well, tonight you gotta be here. You gotta choose to come on your own. You gotta let God work things out for you. That's the answer. The answer is God. That's how you end up in. Alright? Lord, bless him and bless his family and bless his household. And move mightily in his house. Lord, so that he would know that you are there in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Now, when things get stirred up the next time in your house, and things look like a whirlwind going on, blowing up, I want you to just sit down and say,
bless him in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand tonight.
Yes. Pray for your joy and your strength. Love bless the man and keep him in Jesus' name. And give him great joy and strength in the name of Jesus. And do not worry. Do you hear me? Don't worry. You'll be all right. All right? Everything's going to be okay. Okay? You believe that? All right. Give Lord a hand. Thank God for everybody tonight. Y'all be seated. Thank God for everybody in New Covenant tonight and for wherever you are. I praise God for you. We got about 2 minutes. And I thank God for you being here. We'll be back on Sunday morning. This is Labor Day weekend. But Sunday morning we'll be back at 10 o'clock. And I encourage everybody to come in and be here on time so we can go on in God. I thank God for Elder Garcia tonight. I pray the Lord just bless you and lead you now. Elder Garcia, God's working things out. It's going to be all right. Jesus told a man one time, he says, believe it thou this. He said, do you believe that? And the man said, I do. We will be all right. God will see us through. And God will carry us higher. We're never go through a trial in God. That when you go through with God, that you don't emerge higher. You don't come out where you went in. You always come out higher. God will lift you up. Praise the Lord. Thank God for you. Praise the Lord. Everybody standing.